League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to another WTF1 podcast. I'm Katie and I'm joined by Tommy. And today we're going to be talking about the potential of a 30 race F1 calendar, which I'm just thinking about it brings me out in a cold sweat. Now we're talking about it because this morning my social media was an absolute meltdown as Sky F1 shared an interview with F1 CEO Stefano Domenicali. And in it, he was talking about the calendar and how it might look in the future. And we've heard rumours of Las Vegas, with it being heavily suggested that an announcement could be coming soon. But Stefano Domenicali also said that he wanted races in Africa. And we've already had, we have like an announcement every week, it feels like, with a new F1 circuit getting a long-term deal on the calendar. So Tommy and I thought, hey, we've got some spicy takes on this, as we do with absolutely everything. Let's record a podcast and have a bit of a rant and a bit of a waffle and just chat about all things races, because
you love a rant.
I do, it's my trademark now.
I was gonna say the FIA directors have been good so far this year, so you've not really had much to rant about so far, so maybe this will help.
It should do, yeah.
Bit of therapy for you.
Exactly. Now, before we actually go into the possibility of a 30 race calendar and talking about that, let's first digest what Domenicali was saying about these two potential venues that could join the calendar. Now, one I think is definitely more likely than the other, and that is Viva Las Vegas. I was going to do a really terrible Elvis impression then, but I'm glad I stopped myself. This is a circuit that has been suggested time and time again. Even before Liberty Media took over, there were talks of a Vegas race, and it just sort of never kind of materialized. But Tommy, I feel like this announcement is probably quite imminent and would make a third US race on the calendar. What are your thoughts on Sin City hosting a Formula One race? Go.
I think it was inevitable, wasn't it? Yeah. It took a while. I mean, Bernie was trying to push loads of US races, wasn't he? We had that one in New Jersey that was like the New York Grand Prix, that you had the Manhattan skyline and stuff. And they were trying to push more races, but it never really materialized. So when Liberty came in, I guess COTA were probably sweating a bit at the thought of all these other races, but it looks like they're happy to just do it, do multiple races in the US. But you do have to remember, the US is a massive place.
Yeah,
and I know it's very easy for Europeans to complain about, oh, why do the US get three races? And it's like, because, you know, some people in America, it's closer. The races are still absolutely miles away. Like, we can go to Spa and it's... And that's in a different country, and it's nowhere near as far as some Americans have to travel to go to a Grand Prix in their own country. So, it's a massive country. So it makes sense. And yeah, a third US race back to the 80s.
I know, it's going to be amazing. Well, exactly the point you're making with how far races are. I know it's not the United States, it's Canada that I'm going to reference. But I have family in Toronto, and I've also got family over in British Columbia. And it would take me longer to travel from Toronto to British Columbia in Canada than it would to take me to go from London to Toronto. So it just shows like how huge the country is and how long it takes to travel to these places. So yeah, we're going to have Miami, which is on the calendar this year, which is very exciting, and I will constantly go on about it because I'm so excited about it, and COTA as well, which is obviously in Austin, Texas, and then we've got Viva Las Vegas.
Are you going to call it Viva Las Vegas every single time now?
Every time I've got to figure out like a new saying for it. This, I was going to say the city that never sleeps, but I feel like that's maybe New York. But I guess it could also be Vegas from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't blame it. We'll come up with as many things as we can, little taglines. But yeah, where it could be, we've had races in Vegas before. This is not a new thing. We had two races, one in 1981 and one the following year in 82, but it has a reputation for being one of the worst F1 circuits just ever. It was in a car park, which when you tell somebody, oh, we went to Vegas, you might think, oh, it's so glamorous. And they were racing in a car park for the Caesars Palace Hotel. The counterclockwise nature of the circuit meant it was so brutal to the drivers and their necks that the story goes that when Nelson Piquet got his first world championship, when he finished fifth at the race in 1981, it took him about 15 minutes to recover from heat exhaustion after barely making it to the finish. Now, fortunately, we won't be going back from the sounds of it to a hotel car park because I don't think Liberty Media would really, I don't know how they would market that, but there is talk of it being on the Vegas Strip, the very famous Vegas Strip, which would be great. I'm already thinking about the porpoising if they can't sort it out by then, because my goodness, that's going to be hell, because that's a long old strip of road. But yeah, do you think down the Vegas Strip could be a good place for an F1 circuit? Or do you think it's just going to be like, was it Aces a few years ago, where it's just like really long and then you do a little turnaround and come back?
Yeah, as long as they make it good. I mean, I know Miami, they wanted to make it a circuit in a specific location. And I would be a bit wary of doing that myself, because especially we'll go to, we can talk about Formula E because you love Formula E. But for me, I found the Formula E circuits, they obviously push to be in a specific location right in the city, and they want, like, you know, a famous landmark and stuff. I'm thinking Paris, for example.
Yeah.
But you can't really tell it's Paris once all the advertising boards are up and you've got all these catch fences around the track and all kinds of stuff. So almost like the location is a little bit lost, really.
You could see the top of the Eiffel Tower from the start finish straight. I'll say that much.
Just about.
But it was,
if they
miles
pan
away.
Out wide enough. Yeah. Yeah. Really, same with like the New York one and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It'd be a cool track, but I hope they prioritize the track in just making it a good track rather than we have to be here. And, you know, it has to be in this specific location, even if it's not good. Just going back to my original point, I did actually just quickly Google Las Vegas Strip, which is where the race might be, and Miami, the location where the Miami circuit is, and it is 2,536 miles away, and it'll take you 38 hours to drive. So that's why there's three races in America. You know, I've driven, when me and my wife used to work in the WC, you know, we've driven from like Spa to home and got back in a day, like very quickly. Like, it's only taken a few hours. So yeah, that's why they're thinking about adding more races, because America is massive and not everyone can get to it as easily as we're so lucky in Europe that we can just hop on a plane or even drive, and within an hour you're in a different country.
This is so true. I feel like we need to have a segment on this podcast now that's like Tommy's fact of the day. The US is massive. But no, it's very true. And as long as they can sort of incorporate the Vegas Strip, kind of, I'm thinking like a Baku style vibe of having a nice long bit for the start finish strikes. We see some great overtakes on there. And as long as, yeah, it's not just miles of strip. And then
yeah, they did a Red Bull show run there, didn't they, and looked quite cool. But again, like, it looks really cool when the Red Bull show car's out and they're there, and yeah, you've got all the flashy lights and stuff, but as soon as you put, you know, the infrastructure of a race and it's curbing and you put up all the walls and stuff, I don't know, it doesn't quite have the same effect for me. Like, it's cool, no doubt. Yeah. But you don't get that, oh my word, they're on that part. Like, a lot of the time you can't tell when there's actually a circuit there. And going back to the Caesars Palace Grand Prix, that's like, you know, a perfect example. Like, you think it would be really cool, but it's actually just a horrible. I mean, the track was awful. It's just like, it looks like the letter E that's been sat on. And I mean, look at the circuit. If everyone giggles the circuit, it is the letter E that's been squashed. It's just like hairpins. You're never going to overtake. And then I think they had loads of problems there with how hot it was and stuff as well. Let's hope it's better than that.
Yeah, well, I've actually just thought of an idea, and I know the FIA and all the people that are in charge of Formula One, they always listen to these podcasts very regularly. But why don't we do it? So for the third US race, it's just like on a loop. So 1 year we go to Vegas, rather than signing, I don't know, like a 10-year contract, 1 year we go to Vegas, the next year we go to Indianapolis, the next year we go to Watkins Glen, and then just keep it on a rotation, because then you're also moving it to different locations in the US, which should make it more accessible for people. And you won't have the drama as if Vegas is boring and terrible and provides awful racing, then you just do it for a year or do it every 4 years and it's no drama.
You kind of skipped ahead to what I was going to say, actually something quite similar when we get to the whole 30 race chat. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's a very good point. And yeah, one I was going to make, like, I totally agree with you that if you look at, because I think that is a thing that should just be exercised across the whole calendar. I think we said it before, and I think we said it during 2020, how exciting it was that we had these new races on because of COVID. Obviously, it was a horrible reason why we had it. But, we got to race at tracks that we never thought we would. And, I'd never have believed that we'd be racing at Turkey again, or, there'd be an F1 race at Portimao and things like that. So why don't they just mix it up? We'll go into it later about the 30 races, but, they obviously want so many races and they want to just keep ramping it up. Why does every circuit have to sign like a 10-year deal and do it every single year? Like, why can't we have, I'm saying this and then I imagine, like 1 year where they're like, we're not having the British Grand Prix, that'd be absolute outrage. But it's still like a valid point that, it could alternate and everyone gets their turn, and it doesn't have to be a case of just this is every year. And then it makes it quite exciting and refreshing, and then you'll have tracks that you look forward to coming back. So say like Spa takes a year off and it's replaced by Zandvoort or Mugello or whatever like that. And then, when you get to the start of the year, it's like, oh, we're racing at Spa this year. I've missed it. It's cool. It's back. And then get to hopefully have a race at Spa and it doesn't rain and cancel the whole thing. Triggered. But anyone that's that went to that Spa race probably just turned this podcast off now. I apologize. Yeah. But I'd like that. I think there should be more calendar rotation. I think you're spot on.
Thanks.
Listen up, Stefano.
Yeah. Oi, Stefano. Take note. But one thing on Vegas before we move on to talking about the possibility of an African race is one of my mates, Anil Palmer, also made a very valid point on Twitter this morning. And that is, and I know all of the people in America or Australia, basically nobody in Europe is going to be like, Katie, be quiet. You guys get it so cushy over there. But if it was to be a night race, a Vegas night race, which is apparently what could be in the works, then that's going to be such an awkward time for the European market. Because even a 7 p.m. race would be at 2 a.m. on a Monday morning in the UK, for example. And we know that F1 previously have catered for quite a European central market, which is, I know we're very lucky and very blessed at that. And as I say, there'll be people listening from all over the world that are like, yeah, you've had it so easy for so many years. Like, you're going to have to get used to having it a bit different. But I wonder if that will have any influence on what they do there, or whether they just think, it's one race, they can get over it.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of, like you say, a lot of Aussies or whatever will be like, have a taste of our medicine. I actually watched the 2019 Bahrain Grand Prix when I was in Japan, and that would have been I remember watching it in our hotel room, and it was about 2 a.m. on Monday morning. So it was like, I remember thinking like, this is so weird. It's Monday and I'm watching a Formula One race, and it just felt very strange. And also thinking like, if this was every single race, which at the end of the day is for some people, like especially, you know, 2020 was a very European centric calendar. You're not getting much sleep. You've got to be very dedicated, and fair play to all the people that do that. Because it shows how much you love the sport to do that and prioritizing it over sleep. So fair play. But yeah, I guess one race, it might just be a case of like, tough, this is happening, and Europeans just have to deal with it. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of Aussies and people from New Zealand cheering, and just on Twitter going, ha ha, this is, you know, this is... first time, boo-hoo, get over it. You've got one race that you have to do this. We have to do it for every, like, all, like, 15 of the 23 or whatever. So, yeah. It'd be interesting, though. It is a very valid point that I hadn't thought about until you just mentioned it, and then was like, oh, my word. And also from us doing content as well, you know, up at 2 a.m. on a Monday, and then it's like, how long do we... You know, do we post things afterwards? You know,
midday on Monday.
5 a.m. or something. Yeah, very weird. Mad.
I think there's just only one solution, and that's just to go to Vegas, and then we're on their time frame and it's fine.
Vegas Clubhouse.
Well, hey, you said it. Right, so let's stop talking about Vegas, Viva Las Vegas, as it is now known. I'm talking
you're like Crofty with the Zhou Guanyu thing. You're like, Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. You say that every time.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so thoughts on an African race. Now, I'm sure for lots of people listening, when you think about an African race, there is one circuit that comes to mind, and that is...
The 1956 Moroccan... No, go on.
I'm going to... Well, Kailami. Yeah. Clearly I can't even pronounce it, but I know of it. Lewis Hamilton. Oh, sound like Bond, James Bond there. Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton. Recently said he'd love to have that circuit on the calendar. It did last host a race in 1993. But is that a circuit that you're familiar with, Tommy? Do they have it on Gran Turismo?
They don't have it on Gran Turismo, but it's an awesome track. I've driven it on many a sim race. It's a cool track. I hope they just kind of leave it as it is, and not try and do things to it, like tilkify it or add silly things in that aren't needed, because it is just a genuinely awesome track. And I think it is, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people shouting at this podcast, but I feel like I heard recently that they were upgrading it to a grade one. Is that correct? You're nodding your head.
I'm sure I
read that. Yeah, that they have upgraded it. So yeah, Kailami, it's an awesome track. I want to say 93 was the last time they raced there.
It was indeed.
Was it? Cool. Yes, because I remember watching a video of Senna, Schumacher and Prost having a battle in 93 there. Yeah, it's a cool track. Quick, old school. And it just would be great to have a race in Africa, wouldn't it? It would just be really cool. And it would feel like a world championship as well. Like, you want a race in every continent. I shouldn't say that, because Antarctica, but Dominicale would be like, Antarctica signs 40-year deal for...
Oh, dear. Yeah. Don't give them any more ideas, please, God. But yeah, I think it's currently grade two, the circuit. But yes, there has been lots of talk of the potential of it being added to the calendar in the next few years. So yeah, that would be awesome.
There is a corner called Clubhouse as well. So
is there
a perfect place to put? Yeah. There's
oh my goodness.
There's some very brilliant corner names.
I want you to read them out.
I know, because you will.
I can see them. I've looked it up, but I want you to say them.
Crocodiles.
Yeah.
S's, Clubhouse, Sunset. There's one called Barbecue.
Barbecue?
Barbecue. There's a corner called Barbecue. Crocodiles. There's one called Mineshaft, which I knew would... This is why I didn't read it out, because I knew you're a child and would just laugh. Crowthorn, The Kink. Nice. Laughing again. Yeah.
I like lots Sunset. Of, that sounds nice. And Barbecue.
Leocop,
yeah. And Ingwe. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
It's a cool track, though.
Yeah.
High speed. Yeah, it'd be cool. I think you've written this on the sheet, actually. Didn't Hamilton do some kind of demo run there in?
He did. Well, in 2010, I was watching the Sky coverage this weekend. Naomi Schiff is the new addition. And she is not South African, but she was raised in South Africa. So she's got a South African accent and stuff. But she went to a promotional event that Vodafone put on there in 2010. And yeah, she got to meet Lewis, and he signed her school uniform because she said that she skipped school that day so she could go and meet Lewis. And yeah, it was really cool. And Lewis was basically just saying that he remembers that day, but doesn't remember meeting her, which, I mean, is fair enough, because I'm sure he meets like millions of people every year. But yeah, so there have been some promotional stuff there in the past, which is very cool. So yeah, we're jumping on the South Africa hype train now. David, we want that to happen.
David Coulthard took a Red Bull F1 car around there for Top Gear in 2010.
Oh,
so you can find a clip of that. And yeah, it's a cool track.
Yeah, very cool. So if we get Vegas and South Africa on the calendar, then it doesn't take a brainiac to figure out that we're either going to have more races on the calendar than we do now, or we're going to have to lose some races. So as part of this Sky interview that went live this morning, Domenicali had been saying that there is the potential to go to 30 races in a year, which is something, if that's not new information. Like, the race have covered this a few months ago. I've done an article on WTF1 about if there's potential to go to 30 races in a year. But I think every time it just gets brought up on the timeline, people, you know, understandably have an opinion on it. But to continue his quotes, he said, in terms of the interest we see all around, the world, it is up to us to try and find the right balance, considering what are the venues which would like to be in F1 and what are the historical venues we need to see on the calendar. So basically, which ones are old but have historical value and can't get much money, and which ones are offering billions upon billions of pounds to be on the calendar.
I like money.
Exactly. So F1's current Concorde agreement, which runs up until 2025, allows 24 races per season. And we've also seen it change on the sporting regulations for this year to say that, yeah, the minimum races in a year for it to count as a championship is 8, and the maximum is 24. So for the moment, we have a maximum limit of 24. But Tommy, I thought we could play a little game of... Should this track stay on the calendar, or should it be binned off? Because
you're going to get me cancelled now, are you?
Yeah. Well, we're both players, so we both equally get cancelled. Okay. So for each circuit that has a contract, I'll read out the name. I'll say how long it's got a contract for. So for some of them, you know, we can say it could be binned off, but Stefano Domenicali, he's made his mind up and it's staying. But yeah, should we go through
makes their own cynical narrative up on things? Are we going just based off the racing and we think? Yeah, for any of doubt when I talk about, you know, how, you know, say I'm like, oh, I really want Saudi to stay on the calendar forever. Yeah. We're talking about racing here. Solely obviously, it goes without saying about that side of things. but yes, okay.
Let's go for it. So, Bahrain currently has a contract until 2036, so it's not going anywhere anytime soon. Are you happy to keep that on the calendar?
Yes, it's underrated as a race circuit. It always seems to. I actually, this is controversial for someone that grew up with the Aussie opener. And again, I'm pissing off a lot of Australians on this podcast. So I apologize. but I think Bahrain is a great season opener as well. It's provided a lot of good racing and stuff. So, yeah.
I'm behind that. So Saudi Arabia is next one. It's got a contract until 2031 with the venue likely changing within that time period as well. So if we go from the street circuit that we saw last year and we'll be seeing this weekend, what do you think to that?
I'd like that track to stay, even though it's chaotic and makes me wince a little bit. It is a cool track. I hope they don't change the venue personally. Don't feel like there's any need to if they sort the issues out safety-wise. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, we've only seen one race there and that was just absolute mayhem. And I think a lot of the narrative was Hamilton and Verstappen, obviously the penultimate race of the season. So there was a lot of pressure on them from that side of things. But yeah, I think the main concern for me is that they make it a bit safer. And if
it's
I
got Baku
know that.
Vibes,
yeah,
it
really has. And I like street circuits, which I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion or not, but I think they're sometimes better than the normal ones. Right, Australia, that's got a contract until 2025. I read this morning on social that tickets have sold out for both days. So there's clearly interest there. But what do you think?
Bring back Adelaide. No. Australia, I think that should stay. This is where we go through the whole calendar and I just say every single one to stay. And then we go, oh yeah, we probably do need 30 races. Australia, it should stay. And I'm hoping that the new changes, I'm looking forward to seeing the new changes as well.
Yeah, me too. Imola has just recently signed a contract till 2025. Obviously, that was brought in as a result of the pandemic, but it's staying for a little bit longer. What do you think to Imola?
I think I liked it back. It wouldn't be the end of the world if that rotated with Monza for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I want to be able to go and see the F1 there. I might try and make it a thing to happen next year. Now it's been extended.
It's a very cool track to go to.
In terms of it needing to be like a forever thing, I don't think so. I quite like maybe have it once every few years or something. Miami's a bit of a tricky one because we haven't actually raced there yet, but that's there till 2031, so that's not budging. Spain, I feel like this one could divide opinion. I think adios.
Being it off. Get in Portimao instead.
Yeah,
better
that's
version.
True. Yeah.
It's just a better Spain.
Yeah, sorry, Spanish fans, especially as Carlos Sainz is actually in a race-winning car. We're like, no, sorry.
I gave Sainz a B in ABCDF1 last week. Yeah. I'm saying Spain should be enough. People are going to think I've got some kind of vendetta. I don't.
No.
I'm an Alonso fanboy at heart. It's fine.
You are. It's true. now, this one's probably quite easy for you. Monaco. Yep, easy. but this one, I find it really interesting because the contract allegedly expired in 2021, which would obviously mean we won't be racing there this year, but we are. So either they've made up a deal and it's just not been publicly shared yet. I don't know, but we will be racing there in 2022. But the contract did allegedly expire last year. So that's a weird one. Baku, 2024, that expires. I really like Baku. It's become one of my favorites, but it is a real hit and miss. The first year we had it with the European Grand Prix, it was dull AF. And then the second year, it was chaotic AF. So it's like,
it's basically like, if there's no safety car, it's terrible. If there's a safety car, it's the best race ever. Stay.
Yeah, I could live with Baku being on rotation with something else, I think.
Yeah,
it had to be. Canada is another circuit I really like. I've missed it off the calendar over the last few years. That's got a deal until 2029. What are your thoughts on Canada?
Yeah, Canada can stay.
It's quite an underrated one, I think.
Yeah.
Silverstone, bin it off, get rid of it. Who goes to Silverstone? Not me.
No, never heard of
Silverstone.
It.
Yeah, got to stay. I mean, yes, British bias, classic. But that literally is.
It's a classic venue. It's one of those ones that I think deserves to have a solid place on the calendar with maybe four or five others.
Yeah. I feel like they need to have a historical group of ones that like cannot leave the calendar.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So like Spa, Monza, I guess, because that's always hosted races.
Spa, Monza, Monaco, Silverstone, and
something else.
Probably
that's it.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a shame they're all European, but I guess they've not. I guess, yeah, Interlagos, but I guess that's only been there since the 80s, but we'll go into that later.
Yeah. Right, Austria. We don't actually have a date yet, but apparently Helmut Marko said it's on a multi-year deal. Do you like Austria?
I do. Yeah, yeah. That can stay.
That normally provides good racing action. Now, on to one that I actually legitimately think will be binned off, and that is France, because its contract expires this year, and Dominical is already saying that there are going to be certain venues that go. Will you be losing sleep if France gets dropped from the calendar?
No, I will not.
No.
That's fine.
I don't think you're alone in that. Hungary, so that has a contract until 2027. However, there are talks that it could get a 10-year extension on that, so it could be on the calendar till 2037.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
I like Hungary. I think it's another underrated track that provides a lot of good racing, and people just write it off and think, oh, you can't overtake there. But actually, that in itself provides, well, Ocon winning a Grand Prix. So it's a cool track.
Yeah. And also a really good first Grand Prix. If you're listening to this and you want to try one and you can't go to Silverstone or something, go to Hungary, because it's really easy to get to. It's cheap to stay in the city. That was my first ever Grand Prix. And it normally delivers some cracking action, but it is really hot. Belgium. So Spa-Francorchamps, the contract, as far as I know, is expiring this year, which does panic me a little bit. What do you think to Spa?
I think it's got to stay. Yeah,
it's got to stay. It's awesome. It is iconic.
It's a classic. Yeah,
yeah. And then the Netherlands 2023. So this is one that was kind of put on the calendar for a few years. Obviously, we couldn't race there in 2020 because of the pandemic. So instead, we raced there last year. You went to the Netherlands for the race.
Awesome.
Yes. But did you enjoy the actual action on the track, or was it the atmosphere?
It was a bit of both. I thought it's a cool track. There's no doubt in my mind that obviously if Max Verstappen was not on the grid, we wouldn't be there, but he is. So we are.
Deal with it. mic drop.
Yeah. I'd be disappointed if it went. It's one of those races that I think it would basically stay until Max retires and then will disappear again. It wouldn't surprise me. It's not, there's literally no need to keep it around unless we obviously get, you know, a next Dutch superstar.
Yeah, this is a possibility. For me, there was some really good racing there last year and lots of really good moments, but I think I could probably maybe deal with it being on rotation. I'm really sorry to everybody in the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind a rotation, actually. I guess I've not even said that really about rotating, but yeah. I wouldn't like it to be binned off completely. Maybe rotate it, because also, let's be honest, the Dutch will just turn that. They turn every race into the Dutch Grand Prix anyway, so it's fine.
It's so true. Monza is till 2025. That's got to stay. Russia was 2025, but has now been removed. I suppose that can help F1 a little bit in finding a replacement for that. Singapore 2028. I love that race.
I do as well.
Has to stay. Japan is 2024. Did I say 2024 for Singapore or 2028?
28.
It's 2020. Singapore. Okay, cool. Yeah. Japan is 24. I've missed that a lot. It'd be a shame.
That's another one where it's just such a good fan race.
Yeah.
But, the people there are awesome. It's feels like there should be a race in Japan. Japan is such a big part of Formula One. So, yeah.
Yeah. Another venue that's out of contract this year is Mexico, which I like Mexico, but certain areas make it impossible to overtake. Like the stadium section is awesome, but there's not really many overtakes that happen there. So
It comes under the Netherlands style one where I'm like, do I like it, or is it just the fan atmosphere? And I think it is just the fan atmosphere. Maybe even though it makes no sense, but Mexico and Netherlands can like
Poor Red Bull, they're furious at our suggestion.
I'm such a Red Bull hater, me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Mexico is a difficult one because personally, I think the track is just, it's basically Spain with an awesome and passionate crowd. Like it gets a free pass because the Mexican fans are just absolutely awesome and make it such an incredible event. But controversially, the track is awful.
Mm.
Like, it is a bad track. I don't like it one bit. It's tilkified to... It's just a really bad track, in my opinion. And that stadium
section...
And what
do you really think?
And that stadium section, while it's cool and amazing for fans, and I'm sure if I went, I'd feel exactly the same as I do about Zandvoort and be like, no, you've got to keep it. But I haven't been. And therefore, I just look at the racing and go, God, it's so annoying that they can't follow each other down the main straight because of the final bit essentially being like a Barcelona chicane.
Yeah, very true. Brazil is there till 2025, and I think we can both agree that has to stay. That's so important. Abu Dhabi has got a 2030 contract. I would quite happily lose Abu Dhabi.
I'm not fussed about that.
No. And then China, that signed a contract till 2025. I know Matt loves China. He's like the biggest
underrated
Chinese Grand Prix supporter.
Yeah, he is. It's underrated. I think we've had some good races there. I think it provides a lot better racing than people think. Maybe not as much as Bahrain, but I think a lot of people forget about it. It's a maybe a rotation one.
Yeah, rotation one. Maybe it could be in rotation with somewhere like Japan. I don't know. Just thinking of like the climate here. Oh, not climate, but you know, like that kind of area of just Asia, massive continent. And I'm like, oh yeah, just pop them out. But yeah, maybe a rotation one. And then Qatar, which is on there from 20 until 2033. We haven't got a race there this year so far because there's talks of it replacing Russia. But yeah, it depends. If we stay at Losail circuit, I quite enjoyed that last year, but I think we're going to be going somewhere else. So I feel like we can't really vote on that.
This is really annoying what you've done to me here because I was fully going into this podcast like, yeah, why don't we just rotate circuits? It's fine. Rotate them. You know, my point about the American race was, you know, we're so lucky to have so many in Europe. So, you know, get rid of Spa one year and it's just have Zandvoort. And then, you know, the next year you swap it back and they're still really close. And then I've gone through that list and gone, oh yeah, it'd be a shame if we lost this. It'd be a shame if they lost this. It'd be a shame if they lost this. So basically you've ruined that. So thanks for that.
No worries. Well, thank you for joining me on your day off as well. And I've just put you in a completely bad mood. But yeah, that's okay. Maybe this is something that we can put on social media and get your votes, or maybe do a poll on the website or something. So maybe keep your eyes peeled for that because I've inspired myself to make a poll on the website to get your opinions on it. But yes, thank you so much, Tommy, for joining me on this podcast and basically helping the FIA decide all of their future decisions as we normally do. Is there anything you would like to say before we depart?
Yes, there is. 30 races, obviously. Well, I think we kind of covered it, but it's like, it's Domenicali not saying there will be 30 races, because I know that's the thing that's like triggered so many people on social media. It's not them saying there will be 30 races in Formula One, and that's the headline that people have gone, oh my God, 30 races, too much. It's more just them saying like, you know, F1 has the potential, but to run 30 races because of the interest. But I think the person that summed it up the most is a journalist, Philip Horton, if you know him. Mm-hmm. He put something on Twitter, which I totally agreed with, which is if you make a throwaway remark about 30 races, then all of a sudden 24 to 25 race calendars, which seemed unimaginable a few years ago, suddenly looks acceptable. And I think that is so true, that it's like F1's way of going, we could have 30, and then everyone goes, no, 30 is way too much. And then it looks, and then when they announce like 24 and they just keep adding one each year, no one really notices. And yeah, it's mad to think that, you know, we could be at 25, you know, even, you know, it's not going to be 30, but even in a couple of years' time, you know, we could have a 25 race calendar, which is insane. Another thing, one last thing that I want, I might turn this into an article or maybe do a podcast about it or whatever. One thing I've not seen anyone mention at all, and which I guess is understandable because at the end of the day, the biggest thing about having a big calendar is the toll it takes on the mechanics and the people and everyone working in Formula One and the drivers. One thing I've not seen anyone mention is every time they add a new race to the calendar, they are decreasing the chance of there being a championship battle. Like every time, like no one's talking about this. Like every time they add a race, it's more likely that we will not get a race going down to the final thing. Because if you think about it, like the title is a lot closer when you have a small number of races.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, if we had 30 races without them resorting to like NASCAR style gimmicks and reducing points or even, dare I say it, stewards intervening and giving penalties to keep the title, even points to the last race. What could I be referring to there? It's not going to happen because there's just too many races that you'll never get a title battle. And then they wonder why the title gets won with five races to go every year because, you know, there's more chance, you know, extend a massive gap in the championship. So yeah, that's my rant done.
That's a very good point. I thought you were going to talk about the environmental factor of it, which, you know, seeing as F1 are pushing so hard at the moment for all these being net sustainable by 2030, well, we could have 30 races on the calendar by then. That's not going to be very good for the environment, is it, Stefano Babes?
I apologize. I don't know who it is, but someone posted a very funny meme of the Will Buxton obvious, you know, where he says something, Netflix and people are memeing it to say something obvious. And it's something along the lines of, F1 will be carbon neutral in 2030 because all the mechanics will quit and there won't be F1 anymore. That's the master plan when there's 30 races.
Yeah, I really am not a fan of people that's like, if you can't deal with the heat, get out the kitchen. If you can't travel and work at 30 races, and it's like, that is not the right attitude to have. But yeah, thank you very much, Tommy, for sharing your thoughts and feelings and opinions and everything else on this podcast. And we'll be back soon to rant about something else, I'm sure, because that's all we're good for. I'm joking. That's not all we're good for, but it's part of us. Thank you again. And thanks to everybody that's been listening. And let us know your thoughts on social media as well. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe if you are listening to this on something like Apple Podcasts, or give us a thumbs up or a 5-star rating, whatever you're listening to us on. And we will see you for probably, are we doing a preview podcast for Saudi?
Potentially on Friday, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay, well, we'll be chatting all things F1 then. So not long to wait. Take care and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Why am I waving? This is audio only.
I know, so do I.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.